WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
As part of their spring fundraising drives, many public TV stations around the country are presenting something a little less serious this week of Moose and Men, the Rocky and Bullwinkle story. It turns out, though, that Bullwinkle is a subject TV critic David Bianculli takes very seriously.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Nothing up my sleeve. Presto!
Wrong hat.
I take a 7.5.
A lot of people would be embarrassed to admit that one of their most formative and important early influences was a cartoon show. But one of the many things Rocky and Bullwinkle taught me was not to be too proud. It takes guts and a perverse sense of humor, but absolutely no pride, to make or enjoy the jokes that made Rocky and Bullwinkle famous. During the years that corresponded roughly with the rise of JFK, Rocky and Bullwinkle was to its generation what The Simpsons is now, an almost subversively clever cartoon show embraced by children and adults. Some of the puns in Bullwinkle were so deliciously awful that I've remembered and treasured them for more than 30 years. I especially loved the titles that ended each cliffhanger episode. One mountaintop adventure was titled, Avalanche is Better Than None, and a Panama Canal adventure was called, I'm Dreaming of a Wide Isthmus. Some jokes I got right away, like the intelligence-increasing hat called the Kerwood Derby. But others were like time-delayed joke bombs that didn't go off for years. It was more than 10 years after watching Bullwinkle that I learned that Boris Badenov, the Pottsylvania spy, was a takeoff on the opera Boris Godunov. And lots of the jokes, like the one about a jewel-encrusted toy boat with a strange name inscribed on it, were definitely not aimed at kids.
You know what you have here?
We were hoping that you'd tell us.
This little dow here is composed of ruby. Yes, sir, it's rubies.
No, it isn't. It's mine.
Well, my gosh, if it's made out of rubies, then...
If you're hesitating for me to finish the line, you've got a long wait.
And I don't have the guts to say it.
Okay, then here goes. If it's made out of rubies, then this must be the ruby yacht of Omar Khayyam.
And with that little gem, we ring down the curtain. What does fate have in the jewelry store? Be with us next time for Let's Drink to the Ruby or Stoned Again.
Of Moose and Men includes that classic moment and a lot of others. Scenes of Dudley Do-Right and Snidely Whiplash, Mr. Peabody, Fractured Fairy Tales, and, of course, the flat-out dumb scenes featuring the wonderfully stupid Bullwinkle J. Moose.
I'd like to start a box-top account with your bank.
Yes, sir. What kind? Just checking?
No, I really mean it.
The best thing about Of Moose and Men, besides its generous sampling of Bullwinkle clips, is its interviews with the show's surviving creative team. Animation director Bill Hertz tells about the Fractured Fairy Tale in which he made the prince look like Walt Disney, poking fun at the still-new Disneyland theme park.
Sleeping Beauty! I've come at last! With one kiss, I shall waken you and... Wait a minute! Awake, she's just another princess! Asleep, she's a gold mine! I can see it now! Sleeping Beauty comics, Sleeping Beauty hats, Sleeping Beauty bubblegum, and biggest of all, Sleeping Beauty Land!
Sure enough, the castle was soon made ready as a great tourist attraction.
My problem with Of Moose and Men, though, is that it tries too hard to be as irreverent and goofy as Bullwinkle, and doesn't really put the show in a proper context. For example, Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons, isn't interviewed, and he ought to be. When he started work on his TV series, he said he was using Bullwinkle as a role model. Of Moose and Men is fun, though, and it should revive enough memories to send you to your local video store, where the first 6 collections of Rocky and Bullwinkle adventures have recently been released. That's a lot of Bullwinkle, but it's all worth watching.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Post.